How many have heard of Anne Askew? Two people. Well, she's a daughter of the Reformation, 16th century. Anne was born during the reign of King Henry VIII to an honored knight, Sir William Askew. Anne was described as attractive in form and faith, a beautiful, high-spirited young woman, well-educated, with high gifts and very pious. Her father arranged that she should be married to the son of a friend, Thomas Kane, to whom her deceased had originally been promised. Arranged marriages were the norm at that time. Anne endeavored to be a faithful wife and bore her husband two children. However, despite an initially happy marriage, her husband Kane threw her out of the home because of her Protestant faith. Anne had acquired a copy of the English Bible and had studied it enthusiastically. She abandoned her formal Catholic religion for the life-changing Protestant faith in a personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Her enthusiastic witness drew the attention of the priest, who warned her husband about her sedition. When challenged, she confessed she is no longer a Romanist, but she was now a daughter of the Reformation. At this, her husband threw her out of the home. However, he acknowledged she had never known a more devout woman than Anne. What a coward not to stand with his wife at a time like that. And so she went to the Inquisition, to the Tower of London. In 1545, Anne was examined by the church leaders concerning her beliefs. Not because she'd done anything wrong, but because of what she thought crimes. Her answers were full of wisdom and quotes from the Holy Scriptures. You can read it in Fox's Book of Martyrs. She often outmaneuvered the inquisitors, pointing out the contradictions in their own position. This only seemed to enrage them more. Lord Bonner was determined to see her burned for heresy. After failing to prove any heresy, he resorted to insinuating that she was immoral. Looking him full in the face, Anne answered calmly, "I would, my lord, that all men knew my conversation," that's lifestyle, "and living in all points. For I am so sure of myself in this hour that there is none able to prove any dishonesty in me. If you know any who can do it, I pray you bring them forth." He could not find anyone who could question her morals, so he had to have her released. Thomas Wriothesley, the Lord Chancellor of England, which is like the Prime Minister today, was determined to crush the Reformation. He summoned her before the council and subjected her to an examination, that's an interrogation, that lasted 5 hours. One of the council, Mr. Paget, challenged Anne, "How can you avoid the very words of Christ? Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." Anne answered, "Christ's meaning in that passage is similar to the meaning of those other places of Scripture. I am the door. I am the vine. Behold the Lamb of God. That rock was Christ." And other such references to himself. We are not in these texts to take Christ for the material thing which he is signified by, for then we'd make him a door, a vine, a lamb, a stone, quite contrary to the Holy Ghost's meaning. All these indeed signify Christ, even as the bread signifies his body in that place. Anne was charged and imprisoned in Newgate Prison for such beliefs. Her enemies were determined to see her burned. On the 28th of June, she was taken to Guildhall to be examined again by the council. She was taunted with being a heretic. She responded that she had done nothing for which the Lord God required her death. When asked directly, she denied the doctrine of transubstantiation, that the body, that the bread becomes the actual body of Christ and that the wine becomes the actual blood of Christ. She responded, "God is a spirit, not a wafer cake. He is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth," John 4:24, "and not by the impious, superstitious homage paid to a wafer converted by purpose jugglery into a god." And how's that for a soundbite? And she had thought her way through these things. That very day, 28th of June, the council condemned Anne Askew to be burned to death at the stake. What kind of sadistic cowards do this sort of thing? However, before the sentence was to be carried out, not enough that she's to be burned to death, Lord Wriothesley, the Chancellor of England, and you think he's got something better to do, ordered her to be stretched on a rack, and he was personally present to see her stretched on the rack. As the leaders returned and the torture began, Anne remained silent. Wriothesley was so angered at his lack of success, meaning unable to make her cry or scream or beg for mercy, he ordered the torture to be increased. Now, the kind of people operating these racks would have been some of the lowest type of characters in society, you could imagine. Then the officer of the rack was so moved by the sight of this pious woman enduring such torture in silence, he refused to intensify the torture. You know, what does it take to stop the kind of people working in that sort of environment to not torture? I mean, that was their business. They were torturers. This all happened in the Tower of London. Ruthlessly himself, the Lord Chancellor of England, grabbed the levers and mercilessly stretched her body and her joints until they were pulled asunder and her bones were broken. What kind of sadist? And why? Because she had a strong Protestant faith and could answer their nonsense. Yet despite the intense sufferings and all the cruelties of enemies, it failed to change the patient sweetness of Anne's Christian demeanor. Again, quoting from Fox's Book of Martyrs and those who saw her there. When the day of execution arrived, Anne was so crippled as a result of her tortures on the rack, she had to be carried in a chair to the stake. Her bones were not linked together. She could not even walk. She was offered one last chance at a pardon if she would renounce the doctrines of the Reformation and embrace Catholicism. This she boldly refused to do. One who witnessed the death wrote, she had an angel's countenance and a smiling face. How could you have a smiling face after going through the rack and being so tortured and crippled in such pain and at the stake? This is the picture that is in Fox's Book of Martyrs depicting the execution, the burning of Anne Askew. I believe all those scriptures to be true, which he hath confirmed with his most precious blood. Yea, and as St. Paul saith, those scriptures are sufficient for our learning and salvation that Christ has left here with us. So that I believe we need no unwritten verities with which to rule his church. These were the last words recorded of Anne Askew as they tied her to the stake and burned her alive. All who witnessed her noble martyrdom were impressed and inspired by the courage of this beautiful woman who gladly gave her life for Christ as one of the truest, purest witnesses of the gospel of the Christian church. Again, quoting from the witnesses of that time. Philippians 1:27-29, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of their perdition, but to you of salvation, that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. This is one of the artworks made of Anne Askew's martyrdom to commemorate her. And in the Tower of London, there is this memorial carved in wood, how Anne was imprisoned for beliefs by Henry VIII and convicted of heresy, tortured in the rack, here in the Tower, then she was burned at the stake. And it speaks of the cruel torture. I mean, the things that happened in the Tower of London, the amount of martyrs who went to the Tower of London, especially under Bloody Mary, that was just horrific. But this was a martyrdom under Henry VIII. Remember, Henry VIII never became a Protestant. He broke with Rome, but he still held to the Catholic teachings, and he still persecuted Protestants. These are other memorials. That's the actual Fox Book of Martyrs page dealing with Anne Askew, and these are also mementos to Anne Askew's, see the name up there, martyrdom, holding the Bible. And notice at her feet is the triple crown of the Pope, and the Pope's looking like some kind of serpent. Yeah. So like the idea of treading on the serpent's head. The examinations of Anne Askew is actually well worth studying how she managed to outwit the inquisitors and was more knowledgeable in the scriptures than some of the leading theologians in the Catholic Church at that time. There have been novels made on Anne's true courageous faith. This is another one of our articles, messages that you can learn of, not only in Victorious Christians, but in the greatest century of Reformation. We really need to know the Bible. In fact, it was Bishop Stephen Bradley who said, we're in danger of forgetting truths for which previous generations gave their lives. How many Christians do even understand transubstantiation or could answer scripturally as did Anne Askew or Lady Jane Grey so eloquently to the inquisitors as recorded in Fox's Book of Martyrs? Most Christians today don't know their Bibles as well. And therefore, how would they answer at that time? In fact, as somebody said, if it was against the law to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's a very good challenge, because again, there's a lot of Christians who look like the world, behave like the world, speak like the world, read or look at the things the world does, and are not that different in dress or behavior. We should be people of the scriptures, people of the book. That's why it's so important to look again at the 95 Theses for Reformation today, which we have available on our website and in our stands in multiple languages, including French and in Dutch and in Afrikaans and German. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?